So today we're going to look at this image here, which is a piece of Japanese erotic art. And
I'm in a classroom in the English city of Exeter, where the students are engaged in a rather unusual lesson.
We've got a Japanese woman, she's clothed, she's looking a little bit cheeky. On the bottom half, she's got her legs spread open, she's got her clothes pulled up, and we can see her genitals.
They are looking at historical, erotic and sexual objects from around the world and discussing them as part of their sex and relationships education.
Leah, what do you think?
It's shocking because from the outside it looks so innocent and then on the inside it's...
What about on the inside? What if you opened it up and saw that image? What surprises you about it?
So what exactly are these students looking at in these lessons? I want to see more of these objects. So I've gone to where they're on display at the Royal Albert Memorial Museum. Exhibition designer Ian Wills is showing me around.
So there's the Lekythos, or Lekythos, however you want to pronounce it, which is an oil flask.
Can you describe it to me?
It's very small, and it's sort of orange and black in that sort of the typical colours you would expect from something.
It's quite
sort of
Roman
Greek
or
pottery.
Greek, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from Athens.
Right.
What's actually featured on that was a series of figures copulating. That's quite sort of significant in the sense that there aren't many objects that depict that kind of activity.
From the Greek oil flask through to a large marble phallus that decorated the outside of a shop in Pompeii, to 18th century Chinese pornography hidden in a travelling mirror. The objects provide a glimpse into historical views on sex. One item in particular catches my eye, though.
I know the students were very excited by this one.
Yeah, people sort of know what a chastity belt is, I guess. This is a funny one because it sort of, in a way, it sort of looks like a sort of medieval torture device, and I suppose you could argue that it is.
And it's funny to call it a belt, really, because it's more of a stirrup. It's a large metal kind of horseshoe.
Yeah, and
shape.
It's quite thin. I think sort of my idea of what a chastity belt is, that it is really big, thick, industrial-looking thing, whereas this it's sort of very sort of thin, malleable metal, it
seems.
Almost
feminine, actually.
Well...
Until recently, many of these objects have been hidden away and forgotten about. Rebecca Langlands, senior lecturer in classics at the University of Exeter, rediscovered them.
In the course of our research, we came across an amazing collection of objects relating to sex in history in the storerooms of the Science Museum. We immediately thought, what a brilliant range of representations of sex from history, and we thought of all sorts of uses we could put it to.
She invited students from the local college to come and look at some of the objects.
It just became immediately obvious how brilliant these objects were at triggering discussion, really productive, fruitful discussion with young people, and getting them to talk about all sorts of interesting issues in the present day, because they just sort of opened them up by making it feel as if they were talking about something that wasn't to do with them. They weren't having to reveal things about themselves, they weren't having to talk about their own lives, their own anxieties. They were just talking about the past, they were asking questions, what are these objects, what might they be used for?
With feedback from her students, Langlands and her colleagues created a teaching resource using images and information about the objects to be used by people aged between 14 and 18. The Exeter College students are among the first to be trying the course out, but teachers and educators from all over the country are expressing interest. Back in the classroom, I ask two of the students, Hannah and Leah, how they feel talking about these artefacts. Leah first.
It's used as an alternative to sex education as it is now, where a teacher would stand at the front of a class and they would explain how certain things work. And I think it's more embarrassing that way because it allows gateway for like laughing and joking, and it's quite embarrassing when you're relating it to your own body. Whereas this way of teaching sex education is with objects through history, so you can relate to sex through them, so it's less embarrassing, but at the same time it allows more conversation around the objects and you feel more comfortable discussing them.
It really helped because it meant that we weren't talking about ourselves and it was rather talking about a society, so it wasn't related to anything to do with us, so it was less awkward to talk about it. Everyone enjoyed it. Like, people weren't really embarrassed to talk about it because it was just seemed so far away from nowadays.
Their teacher, Laura Kerslake, explains how she uses the artefacts to talk about difficult subjects.
We discussed topics that it would be very hard to find a way into, certainly. Things like pornography and female genitalia as well, and the idea of shaving and pubic hair. And actually, a lot of the girls really found that quite relevant to themselves, that they were able to take this object that came from Japan and relate it to themselves. Yes, I really enjoyed teaching it. It was really interesting to see how the students reacted. It was very rewarding to see how positively they reacted to it and how engaged they were and how much discussion came out of it, because they really did talk an awful lot and they started thinking about things such as their own role and power balances between men and women and things that I think it's really important for young people to consider today.
Rebecca Langlands has been hearing similarly good things from other teachers and students trying out the course. The hope is that soon these sex objects will be helping young people all over the country to get to grips with some tricky issues.
One of the things that I really liked was a student who said, "I went home after the class and I talked to my parents about all the things we'd discussed, and I've never talked to them about sex before." And it was a really, you know, because she was able to tell them about the object and about the issues it had raised, it was a way into talking to her parents about these kind of issues.
This is Lindsay Melling for DW in Exeter.